Catholics in Ukraine are joining with other Christian churches this week to celebrate the first ecumenical social week in the western city of Lviv, an ancient crossroads of East and Western cultures and religions. The initiative is modelled on the French Semaine Sociale and has been jointly organised by the Ukrainian Catholic University and the Lviv City Council in partnership with the Vatican's Justice and Peace Council, the World Council of Churches and other organisations. Its aim is to improve relations between and encourage participation in Christian and Jewish social organizations, and to present Christian social teaching as a source of practical solutions for some of the problems of contemporary society. Events will include a conference on organisations working with the disabled, the homeless and the elderly, roundtable discussions on ecumenism, the family or the environment, and a cultural festival featuring concerts, exhibitions and theatre performances. Key speakers include the former head of the International Monetary Fund, Michel Camdesou, as well as leaders of the Catholic and Orthodox churches in Ukraine.
You know, there's increasingly more venues for representatives of the various churches to meet each other, to talk, to kind of resolve their disputes over church buildings or whatever it may be.
Leah Oxman works with the Institute of Ecumenical Studies, which was set up in 2004 as part of the Ukrainian Catholic University. It's the first institute of its kind in the former Soviet Union, and it has just launched a new distance learning master's program in ecumenical studies.
The institute has, from the very beginning of its activity, it has been running a stationary master's learning program in ecumenical studies here at the Ukrainian Catholic University. And that program is quite interesting. You know, the idea was to kind of bring together the Ukrainian Catholic University and the State University, Lviv National University of Ivano-Franko, which is in town, not far from us. And so the way the program works is that it is kind of advertised and is attended by students who are finishing their bachelor's education, who are in the last year of their bachelor's education at the National University, and they can simultaneously get this master's degree, study for this master's degree, which gives them an opportunity to study some theological subjects from an ecumenical perspective, learn about the various confessions of Christianity, and kind of be exposed to theological thought and ecumenical thought that they wouldn't ever come near at the National University, which is, you know, like most national universities, a secular establishment. And the faculty for the program is interconfessional, recruited from all over Lviv and to some extent all over Ukraine. So that's a stationary program, and they've been running it for a couple of years. So we're actually launching two distance learning programs. One, you know, both of them are going to open their doors in September. One is Ukrainian. It's in Ukrainian. It's for a Ukrainian audience of students. And the other is meant to be international. That's the one I'm working on. So everything is in English, and we're advertising it to the best of our ability all over the world. You know, so the idea is kind of similar. You know, it's to appeal to people who are not, you know, ecumenists, who are maybe studying other things, maybe just have a job and want to learn about this, who want to kind of, you know, learn about ecumenical issues, develop an ecumenical perspective on questions of religion, questions of Christianity specifically. And the program gives an opportunity to do that sort of in a flexible way, you know, in the evening. You know, it can be done obviously part-time since it's distance learning. And it brings together a faculty that's international, interconfessional. Once again, you know, we have, you know, all the major confessions, except for Anglicans, unfortunately, represented among our faculty. And these are all people who are teaching at universities all over Europe and the United States.
What kind of students are interested in these ecumenical studies? What is the typical profile of a person who would be interested in this kind of formation?
You know, it's hard to answer that question just because the program is so new that we are looking to find this out. Most of the applications we have received were from people many were from clergy in different countries. You know, we have an American, we have a couple of people from African countries applying, and these are priests and pastors who, you know, are obviously very involved in their own church, their own confession, but they are aware of the need to have a more ecumenical perspective. And then other applications were just from people who are interested. It seems like there's a notable interest on behalf of people who are maybe a little bit older, who have completed their main education a long time ago, and they are, you know, maybe done raising their children or still raising their children, but they feel a need to be intellectually active, and they're very involved in their faith, and they want to learn more about Christianity more broadly and more ecumenically. So that's been another sort of subpopulation.
The situation in Ukraine is particularly interesting, isn't it? After the very difficult years following the end of the Soviet regime, there was a very, very difficult and tense period of relations between the Orthodox and the Catholics. It's now quite a different picture, isn't it?
I mean, that depends on who you talk to. It's a different picture in the sense that violent conflict over church buildings, which was a big characteristic of relations between the Catholics and the Orthodox in the first several years since the end of the Soviet regime, that no longer seems to be happening here in Western Ukraine. There's still a lot of tension, and there's some degree of unwillingness to talk to each other. You know, but it's, you know, there's increasingly more venues for representatives of the various churches to meet each other, to talk, to kind of resolve their disputes over church buildings or whatever it may be, more peacefully. So in that sense, the picture is in the process of changing. And I mean, even if you just talk to the lay population, you know, a lot of people have rather ecumenical sentiments. You know, they want to get to know other churches. They want to get to know people who are in a different confession than their own.
What about the cooperation between the different churches and the state? You say these programs at the university are running alongside those of the state university there in Lviv.
The situation is a Ukrainian Catholic university. It has quite an interesting history. Just to backtrack a century for a minute here, the Ukrainian Catholic Church underwent a period of kind of very rapid and interesting in very many ways development at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th century, which was spearheaded by the leadership of Metropolitan Andrei Sheptytsky, who founded many institutions, who kind of redeveloped a lot of churches, who did a lot for the church, and basically was a powerful leader in the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, and founded many institutions, including something called the Lviv Theological Academy in Lviv, which was meant to be kind of half seminary, half university. Needless to say, all of those institutions got shut down by the Soviet regime when they came in here in the early 1940s. They didn't get rid of Metropolitan Sheptytsky himself. Basically, he was too popular for them to get away with that, but they certainly closed down all of his institutions. And the Greek Catholic Church, as you probably know, during the Soviet period was effectively outlawed and driven underground and declared non-existent. So all of its leadership and kind of its developing life was conducted from abroad. The leadership of the church was sitting in Rome and in other locations abroad. So as soon as the Soviet regime fell apart, a lot of these people have come back and were working very hard to reestablish and reopen the church here and kind of, you know, extracted from its underground state. And one of the initiatives in doing that was the recreation, one might say, of the Lviv Theological Academy, one of these institutions founded by Sheptytsky at the beginning of the 20th century. And the Ukrainian Catholic University is the Lviv Theological Academy. It changed names a few years ago because it had expanded its educational facilities. I mean, they've introduced more departments, et cetera, and renamed themselves a university. But that's basically the history. I mean, it's a very unique institution. It's actually the only Catholic institution on the territory of the former Soviet Union, and basically the only institution, university, in Ukraine, kind of non-seminary institution in Ukraine where one is able to obtain a religious education. So, you know, it has existed for, you know, the 17 years or so that have passed since the fall of the Soviet regime. And in those 17 years, it has struggled very hard to obtain any kind of state recognition because, you know, despite the fact the Soviet regime has been destroyed, the bureaucratic structures of that regime, you know, are to a great extent still in place, and they have a very hard time recognizing something like a Catholic university because they're not set up to deal with that kind of institution. They're set up to deal with Soviet-style state universities. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, but I'm wondering what kind of practical problems that leads to for you today.
Well, for example, this is a problem that is increasingly being resolved, but for most of its existence, the Ukrainian Catholic University, the diplomas that they give are not recognized by the state. And of course, in a society that is still, you know, even to this day, Soviet kind of has a Soviet bureaucracy in much of the way it's conducted, that's a very big deal. I mean, you come to be hired for a job and you have a diploma that isn't recognized by the state, well, you have a problem. So it is only in the last few years that the Catholic University has gotten some form, not yet the full form, but some form of government recognition for their diploma as a valid educational diploma. A related problem has been that the government just didn't recognize theology as a subject one might study. And when the Ukrainian Catholic University was starting out, theology was its only department. Now it has a few others, history, philosophy, etc. But at the beginning, they only taught theology, and theology wasn't even a subject in the Soviet Union, and therefore wasn't even a subject from the point of view of the Ukrainian government, 10, 15 years ago, which again made the whole question of the recognition of the diploma and of the institution very difficult. Another problem is that, of course, as a non-state university, the Ukrainian Catholic University is a not-for-profit institution, needless to say. But, basically the status of such institutions in Ukraine is extremely complicated, and it's very hard for them to avoid the extremely high, frankly, taxes that institutions get taxed in Ukraine in general. And that, if they paid those taxes, their existence would be just absolutely impossible. But all of these things are in the process of improvement and growth, and the relationship with the government is developing.
My thanks there to Leah Oxman, coordinator of the new Distance Learning Master's Program in Ecumenical Studies at the Ukrainian Catholic University in Lviv.